quiet for the handbell prelude. Thank you. Good evening and welcome to our 34th annual service of lessons and carols. I'll have a number of directions for us about how to move from this to the buffet that will follow, to which all of you are invited to join with us in the feast. So a couple of announcements. One, we had our congregational meeting. We voted overwhelmingly and enthusiastically about proceeding with buying the property that will provide parking and more. It was not a unanimous vote, and that's as it should be. I will remind you that Jeanette Rankin of Montana, U.S. Representative, voted against the declaration of war against Japan after Pearl Harbor, saying that in a democracy, no vote should be unanimous. And so if something's unanimous, someone's not thinking. So we were not unanimous, but we were united overwhelmingly in favor, and we're grateful for that. Secondly, we want to express our sympathy to Jerry C. Dillon on the death of her son, Thomas Lawrence Dillon, Thursday, and Jeff Oliver and the death of his father, Jerry Eason, on Friday. Then let's look ahead to the week. Almost all midweek events are canceled this week. Saturday is our Christmas Eve service. It will be 5:30 as usual, and then followed by caroling by candlelight on the green. That's what we call the front lawn here. It's the green. And then let me give some directions for this evening leading to the buffet. If you're planning on staying, we want you to exit those doors and walk around on Oglethorpe Avenue and then go into the building through the garden and the other entrances to the Fellowship Hall and to Telfair Hall. If that's treacherous for you and you are of an age where that makes you nervous, then go ahead and go down the hall here to the same locations. 4 and 5 year olds will join their parents during the service before the sermon. All other children will be retrieved in the sanctuary following the service. There is a designated seating area for our seniors to eat in the fellowship hall. That's where the stage used to be located. We're calling that Prime's Cove. Or Matthew's Marauders, perhaps. So there is seating and tables available there for those who would like to make use of that and who are of an older age. There's also a designated location in Fellowship Hall for children 4 and 5 years old to enjoy their own buffet. This is in the northwest corner alcove where the former Butler Pantry was located. And if you really go way back, it's where the KBA Sunday School class used to meet. And then finally, we have food in both Telfair Hall and Fellowship Hall. So that's the old chapel and the Fellowship Hall. We have identical carving stations and identical shrimp stations. And then whatever else everyone brings. So you don't need to prefer one location after another or... that's enough. Okay. And then thank you for the musicians and to the kitchen and to those who have decorated our facility. Yes, Jacob? Okay. I have no problem with that, Jacob. That's completely agreeable. Let us then unite our hearts together in prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our triune God, you are the sovereign, the ruler, the King of kings, and Lord of lords, exercising dominion on all over all things in heaven and on earth. We pray, O Lord, for peace on earth and goodwill among all people, for the unity and brotherhood within your church you came to build, and especially we pray for this within our own congregation. And because of your own heart for those who are suffering from material deprivation, we remember in your name the poor and the helpless, the cold, the hungry and the oppressed, the sick and those that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, and all those who know not our Lord Jesus, or who love him not, or who by sin have grieved his heart, your heart of love, and remain unrepentant. And we remember as well, O God, all those who rejoice with us, not with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light, that multitude which no man can number, whose hope was in the Word made flesh, and with whom in the Lord Jesus we are one forevermore. These prayers and praises we humbly offer up to the throne of grace in heaven, in the words which Jesus himself taught us, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The first lesson, Genesis 3, 1 through 15. God announces in the Garden of Eden that the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
Thank you. The second lesson, Isaiah chapter 7, verses 10 to 14, and chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. Isaiah prophesies the coming of Emmanuel, God with us, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, and saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
The third lesson, Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11. The prophet Isaiah announces, "Behold, your Lord comes. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." The voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the godliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young."
Jesus, born to save. The fourth lesson, Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. Micah declares a ruler to arise from Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth.
The fifth lesson, Luke 1, 26 to 38. The angel Gabriel greets the Virgin Mary. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her.
The sixth lesson, Luke chapter 2, 1 to 7. Luke tells of the birth of Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you. The seventh blessing, Luke 2, verses 8 to 20. The angels joined the shepherds at the manger. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them.
Thank you. The eighth lesson, Matthew 2, 1 through 12. The wise men are led by the star to Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Thank you.
The ninth lesson, John 1, verses 1 through 14. The Apostle John unfolds the great mystery of the Incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. Excuse me. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. read an article this week that raised the question of whether or not we are celebrating the season or the Savior. And I thought that was a pretty good question. And I thought, even as one who absolutely loves the season, I thought that was a good question to ask. I don't think the year gets any better than the beginning of college football culminating in Christmas. I think after that, it's pretty bleak the rest of the year, especially January is just a downer of a month. So I thought that was worth considering, and for myself, and I hope for you too, because I truly do love the season. I love everything about it. I love the decorations. I think they're beautiful. I love them. We used to have a little contest as a family where driving wherever we went, whoever called out the Christmas lights first got a point. And so when we got home, whoever called the most Christmas lights, they won. We had to stop it after a while because it became so competitive that they began to fight with each other. But we loved, all of the Christmas decorations, the Christmas food, all the special treats, the baked goods and the candies and the meats and the great meals and all of that. That's all wonderful. Family. Emily and I came here and we were two. And this Christmas we will be 21. And that is wonderful and terrible all at once. So the gathering of families. And then the music. Absolutely superb music. But I thought the music would provide a little window into the whole point that's being raised. Is it the season or the Savior? So how might that be? Well, let's provide a little test. White Christmas with Bing Crosby. Is that the Savior or the season? I think I watch it every year. Bing's fabulous voice. Is that the season or the Savior? That's the season. That's not the Savior. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. Like I say, I enjoy watching the movie. I enjoy the music. But just hold that thought. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Is that the season or the Savior? Nat King Cole. It doesn't get any better than Nat King Cole. I have got a witness out there. It doesn't get any better than Nat King Cole, right? Absolutely beautiful. Is that the season or the Savior? That's the season. All right, let's try this one. Little Saint Nick by the Beach Boys. All right, that one's too easy. That's way too easy. But I'm a Californian. I'm going to work them in there. So, how about this? I'll Be Home for Christmas, sung by Elvis, sung by the Carpenters and others. Actually, Bing Crosby was the first one to sing that. He sang it to the troops overseas, and wherever he went, they begged him to sing it. This was 1944, during the Second World War. BBC banned its use because it said they were fearful that it made the British troops so sad that they wouldn't be able to fight well. American troops begged it to be sung whenever Bing was visiting with the troops. Is that the season or the Savior? That's the season. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, sung by James Taylor. Really popularized after the 9/11 attacks, that Christmas. That was all over the airwaves. Is that the Savior or the season? Beautiful as it is, through the years we will always be together if the fates. They tried to revise it in the 1950s, and I think it was Tony Bennett supplied "if the Lord provide." That was better. That was an improvement, but let's be honest, that's not the Savior. That's the season. And is there a... Well, I don't even bring up Jingle Bells and Frosty the Snowman. Obviously, those are the season. Those are not the Savior. What's the problem with the season without the Savior. The problem is, it comes up empty and melancholy. This is the whole Charlie Brown problem, isn't it? Is that we've got the decorations going, they've got the singing going, they've got the presents going, they've got all that going, but it's empty. He wants to get to the bottom of something significant, and he's groping, trying to find some meaning behind the season. And he's not until the end, when Linus stands up and reads the gospel story, from Luke chapter 2, does the Savior enter into the season. I think the season without the Savior creates an empty longing for home, for the security and warmth of childhood, for family now departed. I think you know what I mean. There's almost an unavoidable melancholy, which is just characteristic of the best that the world has to give. I'm saying the season is the very best. It is the best. College football to Christmas, it's the best. But without the Savior, it just comes up dry. It comes up short. It comes up unsatisfying. It's like everything else in the world. It's why the athletes, after their championships, they feel empty. This is why our celebrities, when they win their awards, they leave the award ceremony and they feel empty. And they're flooded with a sense of the futility of life. And I think the season is the same as that is experienced for people all throughout society. The season without the Savior is empty. Life without the Savior is empty. And this is what the gospel would have us believe. The lesson is, only the Savior, not the season without the Savior, can satisfy. You want peace? You're only going to find that through the Prince of Peace. My peace I give to you, Jesus says. Not as the world gives, give I to you. You want fullness? Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. You want satisfaction? Jesus is the living water that quenches the thirst of the soul. You want joy? Jesus says, ask. This is John 16:24. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So go ahead, celebrate the season. The season's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's delightful. But don't celebrate the season without the Savior. Whatever you do, celebrate the Savior. Receive the Savior. Know the Savior. Know your sin. Turn to the Savior. That is what has behind all of the secular manifestations of the season. That which has inspired it all, if we take it all back, has been the Savior. He is the source of all the beauty that surrounds us during the season. Don't miss the Savior for the season. In the season, be sure that you put your focus on the Savior. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice, O Lord, in that you have not forgotten us, but you've rescued us, you delivered us, you've redeemed us. You've sent a Savior to save us from our plight, save us from ourselves, and save us from our sin. And, O Lord, we pray that truth, that ultimate and final reality would resonate and ring true for us all this evening. We pray in Jesus' name, even as we continue our celebrations. Amen. Let's join together in singing number 230 in the hymnal, Thou Who Wast Rich Beyond All Splendor. Our Father in heaven, we bow to give thanks, O Lord, for the feast that is spread before us. And it is a sign of your bounty for which we are grateful. And so we pray that you'll bless the food that we eat and preserve our health and preserve us sound in body and mind. We pray so that we are able to better serve you. And we pray that your benediction would rest upon us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.